Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stay tuned and even join in the conversation. Enjoyed that message by Pastor John Lutz in the program immediately preceding ours. If you haven't had a chance to listen to his program before, I encourage you to do so. He comes on at 1 o'clock, and I was listening to some of that as I was coming into the station, and then heard the tail end of it as I got into the radio station here getting ready. But that was a good message and a good study. And also encourage you to stay tuned. Pastor Andy Rusnak will be on after us at 2 o'clock, and he always has a good message. I enjoy listening to his messages. I always joke, he likes to say, I got 10 things here that God thinks about this, and he gets through all 10 of them, or 8 or whatever the number is, but he gets through them all, and they're all good, and they make you think. So I encourage you to stay tuned, and I think this is one of the best hour and a half that they have on 1220 is 2 o'clock with Pastor Lutz, and then hopefully we're okay at 1 o'clock with Pastor John Lutz, and then hopefully we're okay at 1:30, and then 2 o'clock with Pastor Rusnacko. Good series of programs there. Well, we're going to get into our program here today. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Pray that we might be able to discuss something that'll be a help, that'll be a blessing, it'll be an encouragement to our listeners today, and we might be able to point people to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us at the website livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll find out more information about me, about the church, and links to our church website, and also links to our Facebook pages. You can go to livewithpastoral.com, and from there you can go to our website for the radio program, and we have Live with Pastor Al on the Facebook, and you can find out more. I like to post a number of articles and things that I'm looking at and reading and considering, as well as some other information there as well. So I encourage you to go to that, livewithpastoral.com, and then link to our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook and follow what we're putting out on that. And also encourage you to join us, visit us at our church this Sunday. I wanted to mention, this Sunday we have coming up our church anniversary service, and we have got a special day planned. We've got our regular schedule in the morning, and we will have Eric Howitt. Some of our listeners know Eric Howitt fairly well, and some people have heard him singing in different churches. He's a tremendous singer, blessed of God, powerful songs, lifting and upholding our Lord and Savior. And he will be singing for us during our morning service at 11 o'clock. And, of course, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in Richfield, Ohio, on Brecksville Road, 5171 Brecksville Road. That's right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 interchange is located right there, State Route 21, Brecksville Road, Northern Summit County. And we're almost exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, so I encourage you to come out and visit us. And if you can't make it to our morning service, and I understand you've got your own churches, and I think you ought to be in your own church, certainly when they have services, but following the morning service immediately thereafter, we're having a fellowship dinner at the church, and so we invite people to come for that. And then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is the one I encourage you to come to if you can, if because this probably wouldn't conflict with your own church schedules, but at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and again, this is at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, Eric Howitt is going to be putting on a gospel music concert. It's free. It doesn't cost anything but your time and the gas to get there. And we invite you to come. It'll probably be singing for about an hour or so, and we'll have some fellowship afterwards. I know we have a number of people who have indicated that they want to come to that. And so I encourage you to come. And that's for our anniversary celebration at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church at 5171 Brecksville Road, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And 2 o'clock is the gospel concert with Eric Howitt. And, of course, more information on the church will be at the end of the program here today. Well, I wanted to mention something, too, and also a reminder that if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And love to get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And wanted to give you a reminder, too. I don't always get to this on our Friday program, but I do usually mention it on our Sunday night program. I usually have more time. We are on every Sunday night, of course, on this station from 11 o'clock until midnight, and I certainly invite you to listen there. And, of course, if you can't listen to the whole program or have difficulty staying up that late, you can always find it online at livewithpastoral.com. You can find an MP3 file there that you can listen to at livewithpastoral.com. But one of our sponsors, in addition to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church where I'm the pastor, is East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. And I just wanted to mention them. I just enjoyed absolutely wonderful pizza over there yesterday, and picked up another one to take to over to my wife and I. Went over to see my daughter and her husband and our brand new grandchild, granddaughter, last night, and a great visit with them, and brought a nice big large East Coast pizza with all kinds of good stuff on it, and invite you to visit them at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And that's East Coast Pizza right across from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. If you ask for Gus, he can share with you how you can get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less, or you can even add pizza to an existing restaurant. And I'm biased. I think he's got some of the best pizza I've ever had. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And phone number there, 216-341-9100, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. Well, I'll get back to some things here on the program. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you. I was listening to some of the things after our prayer meeting last Wednesday night on the Republican presidential debate, and it was a long one, went over about 3 hours, I guess, something like that. And I was listening to some of the things that people had to say, and of course, with any of these things, there are going to be some things you really agree with, some things you don't like, and some things you're just not sure of when you first hear them. But I got a list of some quotes here from some of the candidates on some religious issues that are facing us, and I just thought I'd share a couple of these here, because it's a topic that we've dealt with from time to time, and this is dealing with discrimination against Christians, as well as the same-sex marriage controversy stirred up by the recent 5-4 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court mandating that same-sex marriage must be allowed in the United States. And the first quote I've got here is from Bobby Jindal. He's a governor in Louisiana, and he made this quote here. He said, "America right now, the biggest discrimination going on is against Christian business owners and individuals who believe in traditional forms of marriage. They are throwing this woman," that's Kim Davis in Kentucky, the county clerk in Rowan County there, Moorhead, Kentucky, "they're throwing this woman in jail in Kentucky. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Christian bakers, florists, caterers, musicians who simply want to say, don't arrest us or don't discriminate us against us. Don't shut down our business. Don't fine us thousands of dollars for believing that marriage is between man and a woman. Let's talk about not discriminating against Christians. And I like the fact that Bobby Jindal brought that up. And of course, he was in the junior varsity debate, the first one, where they had the people who are lower ranking in the polls right now. And of course, Lindsey Graham weighed in as well. And he made this statement. And I agreed. I liked what Bobby Jindal said there. And so let's look at Lindsey Graham here, a similar topic. He said, in a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court, they've ruled that same-sex marriage bans at the state level violate the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution Equal Protection Clause. And he says this. This is where I have to scratch your head when you see some of these things. And let me point out that Lindsey Graham has served his country admirably as a lawyer in the United States Air Force. I believe he's just retired or something here just recently, working as a lawyer in the United States Air Force. And he says this now. He says, I don't agree with it, meaning the Supreme Court decision. I don't agree with it, but that is the law of the land. Now, that's not quite what happened. The Supreme Court did not establish a law. The Supreme Court, by its duties that are defined in the United States Constitution, does not legislate. It does not make law. Now, unfortunately, the legislature, which is supposed to legislate according to the Constitution, that's the House and the Senate, they let them get away with these things. And the executive, which is the president and that side of the government, remember, we have a divided government, the law, or the legislature, the judicial, that's the courts, and then the executive, that's the president and his side, three co-equal branches of government so that all power isn't in one person. The Supreme Court simply ruled that laws which discriminate against same-sex marriage are unconstitutional in their opinion. That was their ruling, and I don't agree with that either. But it's not the law of the land. It's a Supreme Court ruling. And so various states now have to bring their laws, according to this, in line with the Constitution. But there is no law mandating same-sex marriage. There's only a court ruling. Well, Graham goes on. He says, but as president, I want to make sure everybody in this room, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever religion, you can practice your faith without government interference. You can marry people consistent with the tenets of your faith. That's the number one obligation of my presidency, to protect religious people when they exercise their religious rights. So he was pretty good on this issue, except he made the mistake of calling it the law of the land. Previously, Governor Kasich, of course, who's running for president as well, governor here in Ohio, had said after the Supreme Court made their ruling that they spoke, it's the law of the land, and it's time to move on to more important things. And that's wrong, too. And, well, let's go a little bit further here. Rick Santorum is also speaking on this. He made an interesting statement. He said, 16 years ago, this country was tremendously inspired by a young woman who faced a gunman in Columbine and was challenged about her faith, and she refused to deny God. We saw her as a hero. Today, someone who refuses to defy a judge's unconstitutional verdict is ridiculed and criticized, chastised because she's standing up and not denying her God and her faith. And he says there's a huge difference in 16 years. People have a fundamental right in the First Amendment. There's no more important right. It is the right that is the trunk that all other rights come from, and that's the freedom of conscience. And that statement there about the First Amendment, I thought, was a tremendous statement here. And if you read the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, this is what it says. And I'm going to read the the first sentence that we see in the First Amendment, okay? And now let me preface this here as we go into this. I, as you know from listening to the program, if you've listened for any length of time, I use the King James Version of the Bible. I believe that that is God's Word, inspired and inerrant and preserved in the English language. I believe that's God's Word, that's the Word of God, and I believe that the modern versions have corrupted the Word of God. They've detracted from it in places, they've taken away from it, they've changed it, they've altered it, and but because I use the King James Version of the Bible, I'm used to dealing with longer involved sentences. And you'll see that in the King James Version of the Bible. People don't like that today. They want short, choppy sentences. Problem with short, choppy sentences is when you start chopping them up, you start to take away the interrelationship of the points that are made in that longer sentence. So I'm going to read the first sentence of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. And here it is. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, did you catch that? That's the entire First Amendment, and it's all one sentence. Now, if you're used to dealing with longer sentences and analyzing them, you'll realize the truth of what Rick Santorum said when he talked about the First Amendment being the fundamental trunk that all other rights come from. But there's more to it than that. Freedom of religion is the central basis. It is the basis for the freedom of speech. It is the basis for the freedom of the press. It is the basis for the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and it is the basis for the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If you understand what this sentence is saying, the main part of the sentence is twofold here. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, there's a comma there before the or. So it's Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the central point of the First Amendment. Then there's a semicolon, which tells us that there's some more things following, and they're all related to this first most important thing that it deals with about the freedom of religion, and that is, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. And see, there's a comma separating that, abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press. Speech and the press are very closely related. What I say, what I'm saying here on the radio right now, I have the freedom to say that. If I was to transcribe what I'm saying and publish that, I have the freedom to do that. That's the freedom of speech, freedom of the press. They're interrelated. Then there's another semicolon. We're looking into another class of things that that goes to support the freedom of religion, and that's or the right of people peaceably to assemble. That's why I have the right to join with our church folks later on this evening at 7 o'clock for our Bible study, where we meet every Friday night for a Bible study at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield there. And then I'll gather again on Sunday for our church services and celebrating our anniversary service this coming Sunday. And we have the right to peaceably assemble. And there's a comma here. We have the right to peaceably assemble, comma, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, which means when the government tells me I cannot assemble or I cannot do certain things, I have the right to petition the government for a redress of that grievance or those grievances. And all of that supports the freedom of religion. They're all interrelated. If you don't have freedom of speech or press, if you don't have the right to peaceably assemble or petition the government for redress of grievances, you don't have freedom of religion. If you don't have freedom of religion, you don't have those things. Now, that comes to what several other people said. Governor Pataki, used to be governor of New York, made this statement. He said, "This is America. You should be able to engage your religious belief the way you see fit. But when you're an elected official and you take an oath of office to uphold the law, all the laws, you cannot pick and choose, or you no longer have society that depends on the rule of law." And we talked about this a little bit last week, I believe it was. And here's the problem with that statement. When you're an elected official, you take an oath of office to uphold the law, all the laws. However, here's the thing. We do have a requirement as believers to uphold God's law first and foremost. And we see people picking and choosing among laws all the time. President Obama, when he became president, one of the first things that he did was he took his new Attorney General, Eric Holder, and he said, "I don't agree with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act." Now, that was a legitimate law passed by the United States Congress and voted into office, signed by a previous president. And he said, "I don't agree with that. I don't believe in that." And then he instructed Eric Holder. He said, "We are not going to enforce that law." Do you know what he did? President of the United States and the Attorney General, the highest law enforcement official in the country, the Attorney General, made the decision that they were going to pick and choose which laws they were going to enforce. Nobody called for them to go to prison. Nobody called for them to resign. And yet, when a county clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis, does the same thing, only on the basis of sincerely held religious beliefs, they say, oh, she should obey the law. She should go to jail. She should resign. She should be booted out of office. Remember, the law changed. The law has not changed. I'm sorry, the law has not changed. The state of Kentucky has not issued any law mandating that they have same-sex marriage licenses issued. It's only a Supreme Court ruling saying that laws against them are unconstitutional. The state legislatures have to come in line with that. Let me give you an example. Say, well, they're public officials. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made an image, and he put it on the plain of Dura in Daniel chapter 3, and he made a command that all the governors and all the princes and all the officials come and gather together, and when the music played, they were to bow down and worship that image. Well, the music played, and everybody bowed down except for three people. Three people took a stand: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when it was reported to the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down, Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them in verse 14, said, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" And he gave him another chance. He said, "If you can bow down and worship, otherwise I'm going to throw you in a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Well, Nebuchadnezzar ends up throwing them into the furnace. You know the story. The men that threw them in died, but they didn't. They were alive, unhurt, walking around in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and he says, "Didn't we throw three men in the fire?" And he says, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And he called them out. It was a tremendous witness to Nebuchadnezzar and the people that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their faith. It was a tremendous witness. Later on, King Darius in Daniel chapter 6 was manipulated into signing a law that nobody could pray to anybody other than him for a period of 60 days, I believe it was, and the penalty was to be thrown into the lion's den and eaten by the lions. And of course, Daniel, whose habit was to pray three times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem, knew the law was there. And Daniel, he was essentially the prime minister to King Darius. He did not obey the law. He prayed. And of course, he counted that God would deliver him. And God did. He was thrown into the lion's den, and God did deliver him. So we have examples in the Bible, just like Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 5 in verse 29, who said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. When there's a conflict between man's law and God's law, you go with God's law. There may be a price to pay, but God will bless you for it, and he'll be a witness to those around you. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.